Hey everyone, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Biz Chat, the Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Woo Biz Chat is sponsored by OmniSend. OmniSend is a solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops or your own website while saving time with pre-built automation that drives sales. And AirWallex, the online payment plugin, allows you or your clients to localize your WooCommerce store checkout experience by enabling customers to pay with preferred currencies and payment methods. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's dive into another Woo Biz Chat.
Hey everyone, this is Adam Weeks from Woo Biz Chat. Unfortunately, I am not joined by my lovely co-host, Emma Young. She is out of town, busy doing all kinds of stuff, jet-setting around the world. So you are stuck with me as your host, but good news for you, I have a really exciting guest today. Scott Stapley, he is founder at Big Scoots. You may not have heard of them before, but they've been around for quite a while. And instead of me just telling about them, hey, Scott, welcome. It's good to meet you.
Good morning. Yeah, good to meet you too, Adam. Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here. Scott Stapley, CEO, co-founder of Big Scoots, 15 years now. So it's been a minute. Exciting though. Very exciting. Yeah.
I'm sure time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah. You tell me. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Scott, in all transparency, this is kind of the first time we're getting to meet each other, although I have met some of the people you work with, and I met at CloudFest US, and one of the things that really stood out to me when I was getting to know more about Big Scoots and what you guys do was customer service, or client service, I think is more specifically. We're going to get into some of the nuances of that. And so that's what this episode is about. That we call this the hook. We're hooking people in. If people are curious and want to know more about customer service, client service, best in class, what should we do? We're going to get into some of the interesting elements of best practices. Is it worth it? Is it worth the investment? When is it not? And I think people are really going to get some really solid takeaways from this. But before we get into that, into some of those takeaways, yeah, just kind of give us a quick introduction. Where are you at on this big planet? And yeah, a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, thanks again, Adam. Looking forward to digging into all the nit and gritty. I live a small life these days in Connecticut, just outside of New York. In a previous life, I did a lot of traveling, had the opportunity to live overseas for quite a while with my wife, kind of followed her around in her ventures. But Big Scoots has been a labor of love for a very long time. It's afforded me the opportunity to work remotely and just kind of deal with the odd business trip. So I've had the opportunity to really kind of explore the world. In my younger years, I went to school for cell and molecular biology, of all things. Mm. Not all too applicable these days, but it was a fun adventure at the time. But it's been, you talk about a career path and sort of a journey to get here. It's just been, you talk a little bit about kind of the topic being, customer service. We classify it as customer success. We think there's a lot that encompasses customer service, and it's more than just the client, specialist, the account manager, or the sales representative, or whoever might typically fall within that usual role. And we've really kind of had the opportunity to spend the better part of those 15 years really kind of focusing in on that. So that's been my adventure and my goal for that entire period of time is to build a business and a service around a very high level of customer success. So, that's me. That's me in a nutshell. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Like that's a great intro, and I really appreciate getting that background. One of the things I love about the, Do the Woo community, WordPress, is it's just chock filled with interesting people with just backgrounds that you wouldn't have expected. Oh, molecular biology. Sure. WordPress, absolutely. Let's put those together. We all have interesting paths. So let's jump right in to customer success. From a high level, how would you define it? What is customer success? What does that look like from, well, let's start from your perspective. What does that look like?
Yeah, and I think my perspective as a business owner, you know, might have a few facets that are perhaps a little bit different depending on the business that you might be looking at it from. For example, you know, we have metrics these days, right? We have customer churn and revenue retention and these sorts of things, and you can measure client success in a certain type of way, but it's not all too palpable. And I find having your finger on the pulse, ear to the ground, you know, finger in the air, whichever one you'd like, is really the best way to understand, you know, the ebbs and flows of your business and make sure that you're doing things right if your goal is to deliver on your customer success goals. And in my case, for example, that means a lot of you know, inbound leads. You know, a lot of I'm spending a lot of my day on chats and sales tickets and just making sure that I understand, you know, what the customers are needing and how we can be doing better. You know, I wrote a small bio on my LinkedIn like, you know, 10 years ago about, you know, my job being understand what we do well and what we can do better. And I'd say that, you know, that's still 80-90% of my day. Naturally, the business still needs to be ran, so there's a huge portion of my day being spent elsewhere these days. But really understanding, you know, with boots on the ground, in the weeds, so to speak, I mean, that's the words that I like to use most regularly, what is actually happening? You know, what are those first words coming out of your sales team's fingers, I guess? You know, how are people being greeted? Is it done so in a manner that you know, hits your ultimate customer success goals? And it takes a lot. It takes an army, takes a team, takes a village to really do that at every corner, especially when you're such a high touch business like a hosting provider, where, you know, you're effectively a problem dump. You know, people effectively only reach out to you when there's an issue. So making sure that you have the right frame of mind and all of the information that you could possibly have available to you to address issues, whether it be billing or support related, is incredibly important. So building tools, proactive measures, you know, really training our team, finding the right people, you know, there's so much that goes into it. But in the weeds staying in the weeds, no matter how busy you get, is extremely critical.
Awesome. What do you feel like, why is it worth it to invest in customer service? If someone was saying, "Hey, we live in an age of, you know, AI is a big deal now," or we can just have lots of help articles. These are smart people; they'll figure it out. Why? Sell me on investing in customer service.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this could be a whole, you know, this could be a whole, you know, multi-hour, you know, sure, talk in itself. But it's ultimately what we chose to differentiate on. So it's ultimately the core of our business. You know, why is our business successful in a otherwise contracting market? You know, there's a lot of other hosting providers who are, you know, really, really contracting in really significant ways. And we're not. We're fortunate and lucky enough to be going in the opposite direction. And I think the core reason is what you just mentioned, is our investment in customer success and our ability to sort of deliver on that. And it's not something that happened overnight. I mean, it's, you know, you have to do it every day. You have to iterate 100 times a week, and you have to spend many, many years, you know, trying to perfect the client customer success lifecycle, because it's just so hard to do consistently every time. But if you do get it right, I mean, you're correct. We live in a world of AI and automation, and I think that's exactly the reason why customer success is so important these days in client service. Because how many times have you had a, you know, random issue with whatever personal, you know, instrument or device or technology or whatever, you know, whether it be your phone or your internet or what have you? You reach out to the team, you get a bot, you know, in off hours, we'll get back to you in 4 days. Here's my email. You know, you may or may not get responded to. Like, that's just in my view, that's incredibly disappointing. If I have a problem, I would very much like somebody to hear me. I would love to be heard. I would love to know that somebody takes ownership over that problem. And I would love for that person to actually be there, present, speaking to me, and making sure that they understand the problem fully. And that's what we deliver on is somebody, you know, right now you could open up our chat, or this could be 4 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve, and you could speak to somebody. Somebody would answer you within 60 seconds, most typically, and they would listen to you, they would hear your problem, and they would aim to address it as quickly and as urgently as possible. And it, there's just a freeing experience, in my view, when you have that type of customer success or customer interaction from the customer side. I mean, if you interact with a business and that business, you know, you feel heard and you feel validated and you feel that your problem is actually going to be addressed and done so quickly, that just changes everything, you know, as far as how you look at a business. And I think in a world where everything is, you know, guide based and AI ridden and you know, other hosts, because they are contracting or maybe pushing margins in certain forms and fashions. Certainly not all hosts, but it is a difficult world right now, especially in our ecosystem. And investing in customer success, there's a very large burden there from the host to take on as far as training and hiring and you know, maintaining tools and, you know, informing your support reps and sort of having that level of availability. So if you can deliver on that, my opinion, and I think we've seen that in our, you know, in our business sort of life cycle, is that people really, 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 you know, grab onto that and effectively never leave, because, you know, it's difficult to find that level of attention elsewhere. And we're not perfect, but we do care. We care a lot. And people know that, and I think there's huge value in it for any industry, hosting or otherwise.
Interesting. Okay, great. All right, you sold me. I'm a small business owner in WooCommerce and WordPress, and yep, I believe that I need to invest in, you know, customer success. Where do I start? Like, how do I get this going? Like, I don't have infinite resources. And if you were to take that use case, where do you start? And then how do you build that out?
In our own world, I mean, hosting, I don't know, is all too different from a WooCommerce platform in the sense that, you know, there are still certain metrics and numbers and, you know, values that we need to hit. Internally, you know, we were a bootstrap business. You know, we started from, you know, the typical, you know, here's $20, you know, and it turns into a server, and then the server turns into two servers, and, you know, 15, you know, years later, we have our own data center footprint. But we very much were our bootstrapped, you know, homegrown, you know, invest the proceeds into growing, you know, type of model. And I think, you know, the difficulty for us, and I think, you know, maybe what you're kind of getting at, is that there's a point in time where it can't just necessarily be you as the founder, or if it is, you need to figure out, you know, is your time best spent here or is it best spent elsewhere? I was very fortunate enough to have a, you know, an amazing technical founder. So, you know, my business partner and I, we had an immediate sort of splitting of responsibilities, and, you know, I would attribute the great amount of success to that. You know, I was able to focus on the business and sales and all the things, you know, in that respect. And my business partner, Justin, he was able to focus on all of the technical needs of our platform effectively. So, you know, that really influenced quite a lot. So a little bit of help, you know, to say the least, would be very helpful with respect to, you know, just understanding, you know, where your priorities lay and being able to focus on these sorts of things. But you do have to invest in it. There's no question about it. And there's no immediate return either. In our case, you know, we had to really, really, really look long-term. You know, we had a lot of, you know, really kind of, you know, early conversations around, you know, okay, there's, you know, this race to bottom budget market, you know, if we bring on 100 customers next week for $1, you know, what's that going to do to us 3 years from now? You know, we have to support these folks. And I think there's a business planning element to it. There's good collaboration amongst your team, and there just needs to be a priority focus. You know, where you invest and how you invest is going to differ depending on your industry and your location and everything else. In our case, it was invest in team as much as possible, you know, create tools and as many monitoring tools as possible so we could influence our team members to be more efficient. So in our case, for example, as a host, you know, we proactively monitor all of our websites. That's something unique to Big Scoot. So if your website has a problem, whether it be a resource issue, an outage, what have you, we actually know about it and we react to it. So that dramatically reduces the amount of inbound because we're reaching out to you and fixing issues, you know, before you would otherwise reach back out to us. That, for example, is a, you know, keystone in the way that we've been able to sort of influence our support team and our customer success model, because we've just been able to really scale service in a way that service is typically unscalable. So I think you need to, you know, look at your space. How do you invest in it? I mean, it certainly depends on the particular ecosystem, but having hosted a great number of WooCommerce sites over many years, you know, e-commerce sites and the like, we can certainly identify many folks that have rolled out that sort of platform where, you know, they have a product, they have a service offering, whatever it might be, and they pivot more towards the service route of their business, and they see growth because of it. And I think they do it in a number of different ways. But you know, this is my story, so I'm sharing how I delivered on it. But it's I think we're in a world where customer success and customer service is just so valuable. So whatever you can, I think your dollars are just amplified so much more than iterating on product or offering more larger inventory. Like, these things are great and they're necessary for business, but you know, the things that really get people coming back, in my view, is a great experience with a brand or with a business. And you know, that typically starts and ends with customer success, or at least it does in our world.
So, like, yep, let's say we're just getting started and we're going to invest in this. It's grown beyond you as the founder. So you have a couple of options. I know that there are companies that you can hire that have a call center and you just contract with them and they'll take care of you. And that's not what you've chosen to do, I don't believe. How do you hire for this? How do you staff something like this? Because that first person, you know, that's a big investment and you don't want to get it wrong. What things have you done that maybe you feel are unique that have made your focus on client success to be successful?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, it's you know, everybody's business is obviously different. I would say, you know, your first hire, probably no matter what business you're in, although I suppose some don't qualify for this, but in most cases, or at least in our case, for sure, your first hire relative to your size of business is always going to be your largest expense in almost any, you know, business life cycle. Like, the ability to bring on an individual to spend a full-time effort on your business and your business alone, and you know, and kind of the you know, putting yourself in that frame of mind of, you know, you're taking somebody away potentially from another business, or you're bringing them into yours, and you know, you're doing that in a full-time, it's as a business owner and an entrepreneur, it's kind of exciting and scary, and like, it's, you know, you're bringing somebody in, you're putting all this money forward, you don't know if it's going to work, and there's no immediate returns on that person either. I mean, that person is you know, servicing customers, they're, you know, handling support tickets, they're doing whatever it is you might need them to be doing. But the idea of, you know, what is their amplification, you know, within your business, it's a scary thought. You know, when is the right time? I mean, frankly, as soon as you can afford it, in my opinion. You know, we were in a position where, you know, we were in college at the time. I mean, we, you know, to kind of, you know, kind of add on to my story a little bit further, I mean, we used, you know, student loans to like support ourselves while we like built the business, and then we did the whole thing, right? We really invested in ourselves. So at that time, that's when we actually brought on somebody is, you know, really early on. So we weren't paying ourselves. We were actually paying our employee. At the time, we had one employee, still with us, by the way. It's amazing to have them here with us as long as they have. But that is, you know, if you can afford to bring somebody on to support you, you most definitely should, because that is going to really amplify and improve your brand image in many more ways than you think they will, by their direct work product, but also through just, you know, the you know, the random comments, the extra catch at, you know, in an off hour where you may have otherwise been grabbing a sandwich. I mean, just it is so easy to see the amplification of a great team, you know, once you have them sort of in your fold and you're talking to them, you're having team meetings, you know, you're seeing all the great ideas that they have after they've seen your clients and after they've seen your product. And it's just amazing to see the acceleration that you get once you start building an amazing team around you. And you know, the earlier you can do that, the better. Now, in terms of, you know, call centers and third-party support and these sorts of things, I mean, there's certainly a business model where that works. I mean, if we take a look around at, you know, most of our, you know, billion-dollar competitors, I mean, they've created an entire conglomerates around, you know, these types of services, and they're able to drive pricing because of it. You know, so there's a winning scenario there for a lot of end users. However, there is just going to be a lack of ownership and a lack of care and concern that those individuals are going to have, because they don't live and breathe your product in the same way that an internal team member might. So it's always going to cost you, you know, 3, 4, 5 times as much to bring somebody internal to you. But in my case, for example, we've had that person for over a decade, and that same person has become an extraordinarily key member of our team, has influenced so many decisions. And, that's just one example. I mean, every team member has their own influence in our team, but bringing that person on as early as possible has just allowed us to make more better decisions more often than we otherwise could have by ourselves. Having a call center, you know, you're not going to get that same type of experience. So that's our position, but certainly there's many.
Yeah, it does go to the thing that at the end of the day, it's about people, and investing in people makes all the difference. Finding the right people for your team.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org. The Airwallex Online Payments plugin allows you to localize you or your client's WooCommerce store checkout experience, so any size business is able to grow without borders. Setup takes minutes, and you'll find improved checkout conversion rates by offering Apple Pay, Google Pay, and 60 plus local payment methods. And since customers are not redirected to a different checkout page, that info is saved, and you can offer recurring payments with WooCommerce subscriptions. What really stands out with Airwallex is merchants are not forced to convert foreign incoming payments to their home market currencies, and those funds can be used to pay suppliers internationally. So, literally, you save money all around. It's all there at airwallex.com.
When you're looking for people who are going to fill that customer, that client success role, are there any specific attributes that you're looking for? Is it technical? Is it, they seem nice. Like, what is it that you're looking for?
Yeah, a little of both. But you need a good culture fit, most certainly. Our team is large enough these days that you're always going to find, you know, great partnership, great collaboration with other team members around you. The key that we've found really for bringing people on, you know, everybody's human at the end of the day. And the more welcoming and the more collaborative and the more approachable you are as a business owner, and as a team who's onboarding that individual, I find the larger chance of success that person gets acclimated and just, you know, loves their position and really gets on board with the company. And I think just sort of that human nature of really being welcoming and offering that person, you know, the opportunity that you would otherwise want to be offered if given that same you know, kind of turn of tables, just influences that chance of success much, much, much more. So we have, you know, when we're looking for new hires, we really look for somebody who's eager and motivated to get into something new, something that they might not have seen before, because that is ultimately the type of service we offer. We offer something different. We offer this really high touch, really hand holding, you know, we call it site specific management, where we're actually logging into the WordPress platform. We're influencing actually plugin changes and updates and, you know, stuck PHP processes and all the rest of it. And you really need somebody who's motivated and eager to take those extra steps. You know, somebody reaches out to you with a problem, maybe they can't log into their email, something a little bit more basic. Take that opportunity or take that touch point and that opportunity upon you to also, let's take a look around. Let's make sure their caching is enabled properly. Let's make sure there's no security concerns or an out-of-date plugin or something that we could otherwise do more for them. And that person doesn't necessarily need any additional technical expertise to be able to do that. But if they are eager and if they are motivated, that's where you really start to see, you know, that winning combination. So when we look for individuals, we certainly need the WordPress technical expertise and Linux system administration as well. I mean, those are the kind of keynotes of what we do here. However, we can train to a senior capacity because we have so much team collaboration and ultimately it's called a deep bench. We don't have an influx of unreplied to tickets. We don't have this scenario where we don't have time to spend with new onboards. So we can really spend the time and effort to train from a technical perspective. What we can't do is get somebody excited about customer success, customer service in the same way that they might otherwise bring to the table. So that's what we're looking. I mean, that's kind of a, in a certain respect, a non-answer, but we really, you know, it's hard to define that too. Like a resume doesn't necessarily do it. In interviews, sometimes it's difficult to really perceive. But if you can get the energy out of that individual, I mean, that's worth everything, regardless of their technical position.
Yeah. So, you know, from the client perspective, you know, I've got a problem. Something's not working. I don't understand. And so I'm going to reach out and I want this problem fixed. I'm looking for a person. I'm looking for someone who's going to fix it quickly. But I'm not necessarily looking to, you know, make a best friend. I just need this thing fixed. My business is in jeopardy. It's late at night. I'm struggling over it. What are maybe some of the types of things you do? Are there any investments? Are there any tools that you're using that may be unique that can help a customer get their problem solved quicker? And I'll even throw out some words like, is AI, is there some tool there that might make it faster? You're still dealing with a person, or what types of things that are you investing in to make that experience? Or is it just, no, this person is good and can answer your question? Like any special tools, or just curious about that.
Yeah. So, you know, not to fire too many people up here, but AI is not smart enough to identify human problems and website issues to the extent that they need to be. I mean, there's multiple variables. There's a server level, there's a site level, there's a network level. You know, you start using edge components, you start using, you know, object caching, you start using, you know, site page, you know, page caching, you know, cache excluding. Like there's so many elements to this that AI cannot really influence to that extent. What AI can be used for, I mean, just to kind of specifically, you know, kind of note on the AI conversation, is it can digest data and spit out some great results. So in our case, the way that we're leveraging AI, for example, is in a similar capacity to what you had just mentioned. So we have what I would distinguish as just support gold, like a golden bank of support tickets. We have over 1 million fully answered, completed support tickets. And every single one of those has an extensive amount of detail, in a lot of cases, very unique attributes to each. So being able to digest that amount of data and spit out some key results related to a potential issue, all on the admin side, just to influence the admin, create a support efficiency, create tools, understanding, you know, custom scripts, custom excludes, you know, regex, like whatever the case might be, we've probably seen it before, and AI can help accelerate support responses by just having a database that they can ultimately freely and very flexible, like a very flexible search. That's really kind of full stop as far as AI is concerned on our end. We feel very strongly that everything else needs to come from a human. However, tools can influence them. So AI is a tool, the way that we see it. I mentioned proactive monitoring being a keynote. So for example, if you reach out to us, we would have identified, you know, we could slow chase the PHP logs. We could do these things in advance of you reaching out to us. In an ideal world, in most cases, we'll reach out to you. So that'll, you know, fix a step there. But we're influencing our admins by providing them, you know, meaningful data, meaningful tools, meaningful monitoring to be able to really kind of accelerate and create efficiency around support. So we do a lot. There's well over 100 kind of variations on these tools that we create. Happy to go into detail on all of them, but it's really about Yes, it's about creating tools, about creating monitoring, and that therefore influences customer success as well. If you have these tools and you have this efficiency, your response time goes down, your response detail goes up, and your ability to really solve problems for customers is that much quicker. I would also add that freeing of time and that efficiency is really a key way in which we've been able to amplify our service. So as an example, if a customer approaches to us, I mean, a very common thing with WooCommerce, being that WooCommerce is highly dynamic, is that it eats up a lot of CPU resource within the hosting environment. CPU is going to be your bottleneck. CPU is also very expensive. That's how everything is effectively classed in the cloud community, is, you know, you have a certain level of CPU, you know, you'll get more memory, you'll get outsized storage, you'll be paying for these additional resources that you ultimately don't need. PHP workers are also kind of couched within that as well. Ultimately, CPU is your core resource. Do you necessarily need to upgrade the CPU every time you have a slow admin page or a 20-second cart checkout? I mean, the answer is most definitely no. There's a lot of different ways in which certain plugins interact with the cart. You know, for example, are you caching or excluding the right things on various pages? Are you influencing the way in which PHP processes actually run or get completed? Are you creating, you know, the right optimizations in the database when you actually need to? I mean, all these things are best addressed by a seasoned system admin who has seen WooCommerce and WordPress and Linux a million times over. It's very difficult to acquire that type of sort of high touch in the hosting world for, you know, reasons we've already talked about. But being able to reach out to somebody, have those people have tools that have already informed them of these various issues and have the ability to dive deeper into them without necessarily taking support time away from other people, you know, is kind of the recipe to success as it pertains to customer success. So, I mean, when we originally started talking about, you know, customer success and, you know, how we're able to deliver on it, we've really formed a whole business around it. I mean, you know, between creating tools, you know, owning our own infrastructure, building out our own network, I mean, everything comes down to being able to offer better service, whether it be creating efficiency, you know, opening up margins, whatever it is, it's all coming back and being reinvested into.
So that was is an interesting point that you brought up about and how I typically think of customer client success, as we've been talking about, as I have a problem, so let me reach out to this company that I have a contract with because I need something fixed. Something's broken. So let me. And what you're mentioning is that, well, of course, yes, that. In addition to, we can reach out proactively, you know, and maybe solve something before it comes a problem. I imagine that there's a couple of potential issues there. With like, wait, why are they calling me? Are they just trying to sell me something? Like, how do you think about this idea of proactively kind of being this partner in, you know, their business and helping solve problems before they become problems without being salesy?
Yeah, sometimes it can be tricky. I mean, the hosting piece of it is interesting. So we solve, so I mentioned to you the most critical issue and your bottleneck most typically in all WooCommerce related problems comes down to CPU. If you could have an infinite amount of CPU, it almost doesn't matter how poorly your theme interacts with various plugins and your checkout and so forth. But infinite CPU is not realistic. Also, as you scale your CPU into more cores to allow more visitors and more threads to interact with that CPU in the PHP, you're going to end up with a much slower CPU clock speed as well. So it's kind of like an inverse thought process. You upgrade your CPU, but what you're actually ending up with is a slower responding site. Maybe the issue of the actual timeouts gets fixed, but it might take a 10-second load time to a 20-second load time, and that's not what you're looking for. So how do you address this? We have a baseline. So again, kind of all circling back to customer success, but we build and maintain our own infrastructure. We've been infrastructure provider. We haven't talked about this, but we started out as infrastructure providers. We provided off-prem colocation and infrastructure management for companies in the Chicagoland area who, at the time, that predates, you know, AWS and Azure and what have you. So we would take what would otherwise be a locally hosted platform, you know, like a hospital or what have you, and we would colocate it. We'd manage that infrastructure, and we would do it with this sort of enterprise level of service. Saw the writing on the wall, and we pivoted towards WordPress because we love WordPress. We love the idea of building, you know, working around folks who actually own and operate these sites, and just working in this ecosystem. It's where we want to be. We knew that from from day one. We took that enterprise platform and that sort of enterprise sales and service mentality, brought it into WordPress, and that's kind of the starting to our customer success story. But owning our own infrastructure and being that infrastructure provider makes us unique, and that's one of the key ways in which we deliver on WooCommerce in particular, is because if you own and operate your own infrastructure, you don't have to deal with, let's call it, the cloud margin problem, where you're getting a 3 or 4x negative return on your CPU resource. So if you're an individual, and what I mean by that is that if you scale up your, let's call it just an AWS instance for the sake of just conversation, what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with a much larger platform with resources that you otherwise don't need, and perhaps are not optimized to the extent that they otherwise should be. So are your PHP processes optimized? Your database is optimized? So on and so forth. If you build out your own platform and you do so with more CPU resources that are more resource efficient, in addition to optimizing the platform itself, like the WordPress environment and WooCommerce, you kind of come at this from a double-edged sword, where you optimize the running processes, but you also optimize the actual physical resources themselves. And just having that as a baseline creates a lot of proactive service improvements as well. For example, the sort of the salesy or markety numbers that we use is, if you were to reduce your footprint from a cloud-based managed WordPress provider to an infrastructure-based cloud-based managed WordPress provider, you're going to see about 3 or 4 times the resources for the same dollar spent. So it's just sort of baked into the model to offer more service-focused improvements, and that just comes through more resource efficiency. So there's a lot of proactive services that we can do there, and that's not really salesy or marketing. It's just the nature in which our business operates. We've sort of taken what is otherwise a problem to manage the infrastructure. We've taken that burden on ourselves, and we benefit the end user by providing that to them. We don't charge them more. We don't provide less reliability. We don't take any negatives out of that. We just take that on as a challenge. We offer that, and in turn, it improves the service lifecycle for a customer as well. So I think there's a number of different avenues that you can do that sort of thing in various different industries and ecosystems. You can own a piece of the problem that is otherwise deferred off to a third party or maybe the end user themselves. You improve it, you validate it, you own it for them, and it nets benefits to everybody. I mean, in your case, you get the service wins. So
what I kind of distill that down into is be a partner, like solve problems. The customer has trusted you with this part of their business, and being a good steward of that trust. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I love the word partner. It's what we use all the time. It's what I use. We expect to be a partner rather than just a service provider. We don't want to be the people that you just call, once every 24 months because your credit card expires and you need to update your billing or something. Like, we want to be somebody that you're leaning on regularly, especially in the context of WooCommerce, because things are always changing. If you fix a problem with WooCommerce, like a lot of these websites, these heavy traffic websites that really have a lot of focus on performance, if you fix a problem, you could be let's kind of turning the dials ever so slightly, a PHP update, a plugin update. We have to remember that WooCommerce is a community solution. So every single plugin is created by a different developer that doesn't necessarily, test against other development pipelines. And, PHP updates might, the plugin update might lag behind a PHP update. There could be any number of variety of reasons why something might fall out of sync again. So just being that partner and just ensuring that you're always there to be helpful is absolutely critical, for sure. I mean, customer success is not reasonably attainable, or high level of customer success, without meaningful partnership and really being invested in your customers.
Oh, that's very cool, Scott. Well, I feel like this is a topic that we could just keep talking about for like a really long time. We don't have a really long time. We're wrapping up, getting close to being done here. Before we do, if someone, like I said, we could keep talking about this. If they wanted to, want to get in touch with you at Big Scoots, I've got more questions. Scott, you said something on the Do the Woo podcast that really sparked my interest. How would they get in touch with you?
Me personally, I'm just as available as the rest of our team. bottom right-hand corner of our website, talk to a human. Hey, I saw Scott. I'd love to talk to him. You'll find me. Separate to that, scott@bigscoots.com. Always happy to give out my personal email. I've always been chained to the hip as far as my email and myself goes. So if there's anything I can do to help answer any questions, regardless of coming over to Big Scoots or not, I mean, I'm just very happy to be a part of the community, help where I can. If I can offer any advice or any help whatsoever, very happy to. But I mean, thank you very much for having me on. Always love talking about this stuff. As you can probably guess, pretty passionate about customer success. I mean, that's how we built our whole business. So there's a lot of mistakes that we've made over time. I like to think that we've had enough of a timeline to rectify those mistakes and improve on them quite dramatically. So time has been on our side. You know, we're excited to be here, excited to be in the community. It was awesome to meet you at Cloud. I didn't meet you, but James mentioned about your conversation. That was awesome at CloudFest. So just happy to really kind of engage, be more part of the community as much as we can. So just get in touch, reach out. Happy to help if I can.
Sounds good. And hopefully we'll be seeing some more Big Scoots at some of the different WordCamp and CloudFest events that are coming up here soon.
Yeah, WordCamp US will be there, if anybody else is.
Yeah. Portland's going to be fun. Yeah, I just got my plane tickets, and it's going to be a good time. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been another episode of Woo Biz Chat from the Do the Woo Network. We hope you guys have had a great day and that you learned something. We'll see you guys soon.
Thanks so much.